Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. Hopefully. So, my name's Bob Myers. Everyone here knows me, but some of his sisters don't know me, although my claim to fame is that I belong to Jesus. And my second claim to fame is that I belong to Jan. Now, today was turn the clock day. And before cell phones were popular, I've been coming here this long, is I showed up for the morning Bible study, and I was the only person here. And, you know, those books, Left Behind, were very popular at the time. You heard of that? And I go, could it be? But I pray today that no one's left behind in the ministry. I've been burdened for this ministry for a certain period of time, and I was ready to bring it last week. But Bob had ministry last week, which I appreciated. And so the ministry is for today. I've been going through the book of John, but this is a diversion for the book of John. But the Lord knows in his sovereignty, you know, maybe part of the reason why I was a burden for this time. And so I'm going to tell you the title of the message right up front. That's what I like to do. So hopefully we can follow and see if we answer these two questions, because the ministry today is in the form of two questions. And the first question is this: who is a priest in God's house? Who is a priest in God's house? And then the second question is like it, but different. And this is an expansive one, and I'm going to try to answer it with one peculiar application. And that is this: what do priests do? So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are the great high priest, and that even now you ever live to make intercession for us, your people. Now, Lord, we tell you, we lift our hearts, our hands, our whole spirit to you and say we need your intercession right now, both to speak and to hear. Now, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would come in power and help us in Jesus' name. So, with these two questions, I have to tell you up front, too, I have a goal today. I have a goal for me. I have a goal for you, for all of us, is that we would go out of here just a little different, with a little bit of a jump or a leap in our steps, so to speak, as we go away. And I'm going to have my lovely wife flip to some scriptures. I hope that you look at them. We might not have time to go. You might not have time to stay up with me as we go through them, if you want to try. Please do. So let's go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 and 6. Keeping in mind all along what we said, these two questions: who is a priest in God's house, and what do priests do? Okay, so right in the beginning, in the giving of the first covenant — we're going to call it the first covenant instead of the old covenant this morning, because I think that's more proper — so Moses goes up to meet with God, and this is what happens. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Now let me just stop right there. That's the truth of every child of God. God's been working on this a long time. And he has his own peculiar way of bringing us to himself. Lots of us are rebels, like we're going to read about today, about a few rebels. But God has done it. He brought us to himself. We've got many testimonies. We heard a couple today, you know. It's wonderful to hear the testimony of how people come to Jesus. It's so varied, so different, so powerful. God is powerful, but he did it. He brings us on eagle's wings to himself. But listen peculiar to this verse, and I want us to see that it was in the beginning of the covenant. It was God's desire from the very beginning. This is what he says. Now, therefore, if indeed you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be a special treasure to me above all the people of the earth. For all the earth is mine. Now, this is the particular part of the verse I want us to focus on. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You see, this has been God's desire from the very beginning. And this is what he says to Moses. These are the words which you will speak to the children of Israel. These are the things. This was tantamount in the forefront of God's perspective for us, his people. Now, I can say with confidence, with all my heart, and I believe it from reading the Word of God, nothing's changed. He still desires what he desired then in the first covenant. He desires, and can I say, here's a little hint, he has in the new covenant. So what he's doing is God is declaring his ultimate purpose for mankind here in the earth. Now, that's quite a big statement I just said, but and we need to hear it, what God is declaring, that you and I and every child of God would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation unto God. But the old covenant, look what it says here. We can't ignore what it says. If indeed you obey my voice and keep my covenant. See, the old covenant was a conditional covenant. And we're going to get into what the new covenant is. They had to obey the voice of the Lord. Something our brother Peter, I love calling the people in the Bible our brothers and our sisters, because they are. Amen. They'll be with us someday. And we're going to know them face to face. I look forward to that day. Oh, do I look forward to that day. But Peter said, you know what? They couldn't do it. And you know what he said under the new covenant? Neither can we. We can't do it. Only God can do these things. But you see, God has always been very intentional. You know, when a husband or a wife or somebody wants to get married, you can't just ignore that person. You have to be intentional towards that person. You can't ignore your wife because then, or wives can't ignore their husbands because then problems happen. But God is intentional to us as people. Now, let's turn, Jan, if you could, to Deuteronomy 14:2. I believe I have the right verse. Copy and paste it. Could have got wrong here. So it says, there you are. Okay. So it says, this is now at the end of Moses' life. He's giving the children of Israel instructions into going into the land. He's already been told by God, you don't get to go in. And we can go into that story, but we don't have time. It'd be a rabbit trail. I want us to stay focused on these two questions. Who is a priest and what do priests do? But this is what Moses says to the children of Israel. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Now, who is he repeating? What is he repeating? He's repeating what he heard from God. What did he leave out? He left out the instructions on the priesthood. Why? Because he's had some experience with this now. And I want us to think all along, the priesthood in the first covenant and the priesthood in the second covenant as we go along here. So let's look at the priesthood in the first covenant briefly. And I thought this was maybe, for today's application, to do it quickly, this is maybe the best description possibly in the Old Testament briefly of the priesthood. Numbers chapter 18. I believe verses 6 and 7. Yeah, it's 6 and 7, I believe. Okay, this is God talking to Aaron now. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from amongst the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. They're a gift. You realize we're a gift to one another in the church? God has given us, here's another wonderful, God has given us an inheritance amongst the children of God as a child of God. It's pretty amazing stuff. But here's what he says to Aaron. A gift to you given by the Lord to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And we could go into all those things, but we can't. It's to minister in to move the tabernacle and set up the tabernacle, do all these things. Now listen. But therefore you and your sons shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil, which is going to be one of the focuses of our the ministry here. And you shall serve. I'll give your priesthood, and I hope we see this. I hope this is where we go out with a little bit of a jump in our step, is giving you to you as a gift for service. And I'll say right now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Every child of God in the new covenant is a priest. And we're gonna prove this by the word of God. See, the priesthood was given to the Levites. And but very specifically, if we look at what that verse says, serving behind the veil was for Aaron and his sons. The Aaronic priesthood, it's called. Just for them. There's what it is in a nutshell, that verse. Okay? But listen, the entire tribe of Levi was for the work of the tabernacle, which is a picture of Christ in the church, because we're all Levites and we're all priests now. Now let's look at Exodus. We sang the Lord is our inheritance and our portion. That comes from this verse and many like it. There's so many verses, and I hope you good Bereans will go back and look how many verses there are where God talks about him being our inheritance in the Bible. I can't go through it all because we'd be doing a rabbit trail here. There's a lot. Is all I'm going to say, where it talks about God being our inheritance. But this one in particular stood out. Exodus, oh wait, is that Exodus 18:20? Oh, that might be Numbers 18:20. I'm sorry, I might have done a little dyslexia, but this is what, yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah, Numbers, yeah. I think it's actually Numbers 18:20, I believe. Yep, thank you. At least I have a little bit of a memory left. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron. I love that. He didn't always just speak to Moses. He spoke to Aaron. And he says, you shall have no inheritance in the land. Oh boy, he must have been thinking when he heard that. Nor shall you have any portion among you. But this is the good word. I am your portion in your inheritance amongst the children of Israel. And that's why I say my claim to fame is I belong to Jesus and he belongs to me. He's really every Christian's portion. But all, and I want us to think again what God said in the beginning, all of God's dear children are priests, and that was God's intention from the beginning, but not under the first covenant. But you know what? There's a lot of confusion about the priesthood today in the new covenant. I have to say it. There's even confusion amongst us. There really is to what the priesthood is. Sometimes it takes years to understand what the priesthood is. Now, some of us grew up in churches, we heard already this morning, where the priesthood was very important. And sometimes the outward symbols of it. Did you know that, I've said this before, but I grew up in what's called a high Episcopal church. Okay? They actually spoke Latin in the church, which I still don't get to this day. But they did. And I was an altar boy. It's another word for that. An acolyte. And I... Can I be frank? I hated it. I didn't have any vision what any of those things stood for. I couldn't stand it. And I, as I remember, to the best of my recollection, probably I did this between 9 to 13 years old, maybe 14. But I couldn't stand it. And I remember every Sunday I would argue with my mother and my father. I don't want to wear the dress. Of course, it was a robe, and now that robe has quite a lot of significance to me. But it was a robe that I wore, and I don't want to wear the beanie, is what I called it. But that was an ephod we wore, which are very important. And I really didn't have any idea what these things stood for. And eventually, I was fired from the job. You know how I was fired from the job? I have to confess. I was a rebel. I still am a rebel in a lot of ways. But I was an altar boy, acolyte, and I was already madder than all get out that I was there every Sunday. And one of my fellow acolytes accidentally spilled burning wax on my forehead as I walked down the center of the aisle, and I let out every four-letter word I could think of. I did. I have to admit it. I can only imagine being the parent at that time. Oh, boy. So Father Morris, which is his name, and I love this brother. I consider him a real brother. He sat down with me and my parents and said, "You really don't have to make him do it if he doesn't want to." Because it was obvious to him, too, that I didn't want to. But I'll tell you something I remember, and I remember being in this church, and it's part of my heritage, and I don't regret it, that my parents took me to that church. This man had the love of God in him, and I knew it. It was a testimony of the life of Christ burning in his life. So he was a priest. He is a priest, very much alive today. But I want to focus on one thing he did because I want to use pretty much the rest of the time to talk about this. Something he did which I never understood at the time and came home to me like never before as I've gone through the Word of God. We celebrated the Lord's table here today. And it's a picture of both things in the Old Covenant, but of course in the New. And what he would do is after the Lord's table, the best I can remember it again, he would take a censer full of incense, and he'd walk down the aisles and swing it amongst God's people. Wow. Now, I'd like us to turn to that picture in Numbers chapter 16, verse 8 through 10. Yeah. We're going to go through the sons of Korah very briefly. Again, you good Brians. We've been going through this section in the Bible study already. They've already passed this section, but we're going to look at this again. Now, this deals with the sons of Korah briefly. I'm not going to say much about that except to what Aaron's and Moses' response was to the sons of Korah. Now, before we even read Numbers chapter 16, verse 8 through 10, I want to say this, that what the Bible says about the sons of Korah. We just think these guys were rebels. We're rebels. You know what the Bible proclaims about them? They were men of renown. That's what the Bible says. And we know what's happened to some of the sons of Korah. You can read their writings in the Bible. So this is an incident. It was no small thing that happened, and it has to do concerning the priesthood. They were Levites, okay? But they weren't quite satisfied with their portion. So Numbers chapter 16, verses 8 through 10 says this, "And Moses said to Korah, 'Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing that you, the God of Israel, has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve him? And as he brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking the priesthood also? And we talked about, and there's the clarification of that, the verse we had read, the Levites were for the other things, but the things that were for behind the veil were for Aaron and his sons in particular, and they wanted that also. But I want us to think of something. And again, I'm encouraging everyone to read this section on their own to get a better and a more full perspective on it. Numbers chapter 16, verse 41, 48, which is the rest of our time that we're pretty much going to spend on. And on the next day, all the congregation. You know what I love about the Bible? When the Bible says all the congregation, it's not accident. So don't just think of this incident as the sons of Korah. They were the leaders of this sort of thing, but this is what the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. You have killed the people of the Lord. And we know if we go back and look at the story, the ground opened up and swallowed them alive, right? So who really did it? God did it. But they are getting the blame for what God did. Sound familiar? If you're going to be a testimony in your own household to the testimony of Jesus, they're going to blame you for things that really, is, just because you're the test, you bear the ark, so to speak. You bear the testimony of Jesus. Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned towards the tabernacle and meeting, and suddenly a cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from this congregation that I may consume them in a moment." And look at Aaron and Moses' response. You know what? The natural man goes, "Go ahead and do it. They're trying to take my job. Let them have it with both barrels." Is that what they did? Nope. They fell on their faces and they interceded. And this is the story of Moses and Aaron all the way through the Old Testament. So Moses said to Aaron, now here's the picture. "Take a censer and put fire in it from the altar. Put incense on it and take it quickly to the congregation. Make atonement for them, for the wrath has gone out from the Lord and the plague has begun." Then Aaron took it as Moses' commandment and ran in the midst of the assembly, and already the plague had begun amongst the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, so the plague was stopped. So we ask at the beginning our question, what do priests do? What priests do? They swing the incense amongst the children of God. And certainly Aaron is a picture of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. We can't deny that in this picture. And we have already said that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. But that's not really the burden of my ministry this morning. That is a given in the new covenant. I want us to look at the two elements he took with him and that Moses instructed him to do. He took fire from the altar. He took fire with him. Did you know, and you know our sister said it, she closed here with one of her verses, do you know that you actually take with you fire from the altar? You might sound, well, that sounds kind of crazy. That's a stretch. The Bible tells us that's not a stretch. 2 Corinthians 4:10 says this, that we're always carrying about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life might also be manifested in our body. See, we carry the cross in our earthen vessel. We carry that, those coals from the altar, which, of course, what are the coals? The coal is the cross of Jesus. We carry the cross of Jesus with us as his dearly beloved children in the person of the Lord Jesus. So if the cross is the altar, what is incense? Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, and Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. You have it up there now. Yeah, right there, both of them at the same time. Now, when he had taken the scrolls, the four living creatures, And the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8:3. Then another angel having a golden altar came and stood where? At the altar. He was given much incense that he should see the picture that Moses saw with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And we don't have time to go into all these elements in particular because we're focusing on the altar and the incense. But what we're saying here is incense is the prayers of the saints. And as a priest, everyone has a priestly calling upon their life. Our dear brother Peter, again, I say it, I just love to say it. The older I get, the more I love to say it. Our dear brother Peter put it this way. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 through 10. But you, now take it personally, own it, as it were, so to speak. But you, every child of God, are a chosen generation. Here it is, a fulfillment, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who carried you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 says this, and this is, think of this, this is John at the end of his life, and this is his message to the whole church. This is what he's saying. This is kind of important, guys. This is what God was saying in the beginning to Moses, right? A kingdom of priests. This is what Peter saw in the new covenant. What we all are is a kingdom of priests. But you know what? We can't do this priestly service without the altar. We can't. We're not qualified. He qualified us. He put us into service. And this is what our dear brother John says in Revelation 1:6. And he has made us king. Let's just say it, all of us. And he has made us kings and priests, our God and Father. To him be the glory forever. Amen. See, we are priests to the Most High God. But what do priests do then in the picture? Which I want to use this picture of what Aaron was doing, swinging the censer, stopping the plague, standing between life and death. Did you understand that's how important our job is in this earth? Somebody said here, one of the sisters says she wasn't sure what she's going to do when she gets out here. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to swing the censer amongst the people of God. You've got a testimony burning inside your life. You've got something the world needs. You've got the perfume, the prayers that go up. So in specifically in what priests do, and it's a lot of things priests do, but here's the thing which we're making. Priests make intercession and pray and stand between the living and the dead. And let me tell you, I believe with all my heart that my own nature keeps me from the priesthood. That the world system is meant to keep you from the priesthood. That the devil himself will do everything possible to make you believe you're not a priest in the house of God. But you are. As was said in that song in the beginning, you're a priest in God's house. Nothing can change it now. You're a priest because God died for you. And you are a special treasure. You know what that word in the Greek is translated? A special treasure beyond all people of the earth? A highly valuable possession. Yeah. Irreplaceable. Yeah. Did you ever think that you're irreplaceable in the house of God? You ever think you are. And you are to God. That's how important you are. But you see, Christ, in his death, open up the priesthood to every believer. If you don't believe me, we're going to go to the next verse. Matthew 27:51. We've heard often. Now, you need to think what we're talking about. We're talking about the altar, which is the death and the cross of Christ. And we're talking about the prayers that Aaron and Moses sent up. Now, look what opened the priesthood, though, to us. The Aaronic priesthood, so to speak. Where we can go behind the veil and meet with God face to face, boldly because of the blood of Christ. This is what it says. Then behold, this is when Jesus dies, not when he was rose from the dead. We got to remember that. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks split. See, in the new covenant, we talked about the old covenant being conditional. That conditional treasure, the conditional priesthood that the children of Israel could never live up to, and neither could we. But in the new covenant, it's a different kind of covenant where Christ has opened up paradise. That we can wear the robe of righteousness, that robe I hated to wear. But now, by God's grace, I can wear because of that veil being rent. This new covenant, not written on tablets of stone, but written in our hearts. And that wouldn't, you know what, that wouldn't be enough. It was just in our hearts. It has to be written in our minds too. The new covenant, where every believer has the altar in the person of the Lord Jesus living inside of him. And because of that, we also have the resurrection of Christ in, of course. But the new covenant is unconditional, and I encourage you to look this up again, too. Bob referenced it in last week's ministry. You know what the new covenant says? Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Amen to that? Isn't that a good thing? So there it is. We should shout it on the rooftops. Christ has given the priesthood to every believer. Every child is a priest unto God. It's quite a privilege, it's quite an honor, and it's our calling in life if you dare to accept it. You know, like the old Mission Impossible, it is the impossible mission. But you got to accept it because it's already a done deal. We're in the deal. And you know what we said, what priests do? We said they swing the incense. Now listen, there's some miracles that went on in that story about Aaron. You know what? Aaron was probably about 120 years old when this happened. And it said he ran into the congregation. You don't think it's a miracle that a 120-year-old man ran? It is. That was it. He was beyond the end of his life. And here's the other thing I want us to think of, and we heard it here in one of the testimonies from our dear sister. He ran into the congregation with the people that wanted to kill him. You want me to go out and run into this mess? God's killing a bunch of people, Moses. They're going to kill me the minute I set foot in their territory. And you want me to do this? Yes, he does. Matthew 5:44 says this. The sisters alluded to, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, these aren't things we can naturally do. If we want to be honest, and it's better to be honest as a Christian than to be dishonest. We cannot do this. But what can Christ in you can do this? You can do unusual things in Christ. We can forgive people that, you know what, frankly, maybe they don't deserve our forgiveness. But they do because Christ has forgiven us. That's why we do it. These aren't things we can do. But you know what the Bible also says? The Bible says, in God, I can run against a troop. In God, I can leap over a wall, David has said in the Psalms. We can do unusual things in God that we could never do naturally. So, Some of us might be saying even, I'm too much of a mess and a project to be a priest. You know what? That's a lie. That's not true. Because you have the stamps and the mark of the Lord Jesus upon your life. If you're believing that and you're listening to those whispers, and we all do, let's be honest, at times, we listen to that kind of thing. We don't measure up. That's a lie. We have that altar that we can go to. So this is what Jesus says, the big picture about prayer, back to prayer. He said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he spoke to them a parable, said this, that men always ought to pray and lose heart. And I'm striking out men for application of today's ministry and putting priests, because the men means men and women and children. You see, this is our vocation. This is our inheritance amongst the people of God. But you know, and I'm going to finish this up here. If you went around, we don't have to go around anywhere. We can just go here. You know what we could say is the least attended meeting in our group?
A prayer meeting.
You know what? If you went around America, probably in every church, from Catholic, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, small churches, big churches, you know what I hear? The least attended meeting? The prayer meeting. You know what might be the most important meeting to attend? The prayer meeting. Now, I don't know if this is the case, but my guess is in places where there's much persecution, it's just a guess, my guess is those people meet for prayer. Because that's what we see in the New Testament they did when they were being persecuted. But you know what? We don't do prayer alone. I mean, let me backtrack on that. I said that wrong. We do pray alone. And a lot of these things all happen in secret where nobody sees. But prayer, look, Aaron couldn't have done what he did without Moses' encouragement. Aaron needed Moses. Moses needed Aaron. It was both of them interceding for the people of God. So, dear child of God, I hope you've seen it, and I hope you believe it, because it's in the Word of God that you're a priest under the Most High God. You have a high calling on your life. And you've been given the privilege of intercessory prayer. And you know what? Don't give up, like Jesus says in Luke 18:1. The effective prayer of a righteous man and a woman. And we're righteous. We have the robe of righteousness. Accomplishes much in the house of God and amongst in the whole earth. So, thank you for being a good audience.